Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
In the stretch without John Morant. And I got to say, it was a horrific basketball game just on the front end of that. I mean, it was just really, really, really bad. I mean, as you might expect. I mean, the Mavs are missing Kyrie and Anthony Davis. They lost P.J. Washington in the middle of the game. Cooper Flagg has not looked, he has not looked awesome the entirety of the season. He's kind of struggled. And then we know the personnel issues with the Grizzlies, with no Jaren, with no Ja, with no Scottie Pippen, with no Ty Jerome, the point guard, really, so to speak. So it was a rough basketball game in that standpoint. But it was testy. I mean, I've never seen 2 5-win NBA teams like be that intense this early in the season. Like, neither team wanted to lose that game. Neither team wanted to win it, but neither team wanted to lose that game. And it ended up like there was the story is that there was a trip from Santi on Cooper Flagg, which it was a trip. Klay Thompson, who actually had, I think, his best game of the season statistically.
22.
Yeah.
Season high.
He got in the mix in the middle of it with Vince Williams, was who he was going at for whatever reason. And then it spilled over to the end of the game. He and Ja got into it. Ja told him, "You're a bum now," and Klay is going back and forth with him. And Grizzlies win. How important
two
that
in a
is.
Row. First time in the season.
I'll let you guys sort of have that one.
Better than the alternative.
I would rather them lose every game the rest of the way, but that's me. Some would argue that it's too early to be in that mindset. But, it doesn't seem like Ja's on the verge of returning, given that they just picked up Kobe Bufkin from the South Bay Lakers. Either way, if you want to enjoy a win, you can enjoy a win. Who am I to tell you otherwise? But Klay and Ja get into it midcourt, have to be separated, I suppose. And after the game, Klay Thompson was asked about Ja Morant and what was said, and this is what Klay had to say.
"And then with Ja, he's a funny guy. He has a lot to say all the time, especially for a guy who rarely takes accountability. But you know what? That's for another day.
What did Ja have to say on this occasion?"
Nothing of intelligent depth. It was really just his just running his mouth, and he's been running his mouth for a long time, and it's funny to run your mouth when you're on the bench. It's kind of the story of his career so far, just leaving us wanting more. We all want to see him out there and do his best, but he's just been letting a lot of other stuff get in the way of that. And we need that in the NBA. We need our best players to be out there. And when you're a star, it comes with a great responsibility. And I hate to see that go to waste." And then,
so there you go. Klay Thompson said, "We got to get our best out there." And feels like it's going to waste and so many other things. Are we supposed to be mad at Klay? Is today Get Mad at Klay Day?
He's been doing this since his Golden State days, and he was the one that called Jaren Jackson Jr. a bum. We didn't like it back then, and that's sort of what Ja was getting at, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And Ja has felt a certain kind of way about it. I get it. You're the team leader, and so stepping up and something that you've, a grudge that you've still held or still hold, I should say. Klay, you could say Klay started that, right? You could say that. Now, I'll just say Klay was standing up for Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, and I heard the point made on Jeff's show. I think it's a valuable one by one of the callers. You'd say, well, Ja standing up for Jaren. Here's my thing: is that they're neither one of them's playing. Klay was out there. I have a hard time with the guy who was calling out the coaching staff earlier after he quit against the Lakers, talking, getting loud now when he's sitting on the bench. That's just me. Now, I really, you know, again, I could go back and say, well, Klay started this. It's open. But, it's open game at that point. I mean, you know, this goes back for a while, and there's always been that sort of back and forth between those two. And we've seen it again, not just in games, but in the with the press afterwards. I mean, that's what Golden State was doing, and Klay sort of led the way. But, man, where I'm from, man, Klay's out there playing. He just had 22, had six threes. Josh Jones and him at the end about Cam Spencer being a better shooter than him now. Man, stop. So listen, there were a lot of folks that called into Jeff because his question was, hey, let's make a case for a defense for Ja here. And there were plenty of folks that said, pointed out, well, Klay kind of started this. And they're right. And Ja, in a way, is standing up for Jaren. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm ready for Jaren to stand up for himself, and I'm ready for Ja to be out there, both of them. And so I'm not going to sit up here and tell you, oh, Klay's this evil one. You know, again, this started with him calling out Santi for the trip play. Santi clearly grabs Cooper Flagg's ankle or whatever it was. And that's NBA. That you stand up right there, especially the vet that says, man, that stuff's because we were calling out Draymond for pulling Santi down. We call out that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Klay was stepping up there. I think at that point, he's probably drawing the ire of Ja, which goes back. You have to have the context. Mm-hmm. But to get into the Meg the Stallion stuff and all, I mean, come on, bro. And that Cam Spencer's a better shooter. Man, just let Cam have his, you know, have his interview and stop making it about you. That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
Especially when you're not playing.
I absolutely have no room to be angry today about anything that Klay Thompson did or said. He was right. Everything he said was right. I think that's the hard pill for Grizzlies fans to swallow. He said he's one of our best. He needs to be out there. We need him out there. He's one of the best in the league. But, like, are we really going to sit here? I mean, it's like hypnosis if we sit up here and act like everything Klay Thompson. I mean, I know we don't like the messenger, right? But the message was accurate. And it's difficult for me to defend John Morant when he's in a Nike Tech suit, you know, walking up to Klay after the game and putting the finger in his face.
Man.
Like, I can't.
Yeah, I don't know
and
what
I won't.
Was said to get that, but that's.
I won't. I can't. I won't. I just don't. It's one thing if you're in the game, like you said, like you're in the game, you're in the inside those lines, and you know you have a dust up, whatever the case may be. But like, I just feel like that's one where you know, like, Ja's not really standing up for anybody here. Ja's just being a troll.
It's dressed up as that. I would agree with you there.
Yeah.
Now, again, and you could make the case that he's going back to the bum thing. The bum thing was about Jaren.
But they've played like Ja played in that play-in game versus Klay Thompson, and he didn't have anything to say to him in that game. Last year in Memphis, I mean, they've seen each other, but since that
well,
all
and
happened,
they've constantly gone back and forth. Yeah. I don't think it's always been public because a lot of times we haven't cared. But Klay's always had something to say.
Yep.
And again, you can make that case. I'm with you. It's veiled.
Yes.
I say Ja is making it about himself, a
totally.
Dude who's sitting on the bench. Remember when he had the shiesty on last year? Whatever. We ain't supposed to hear from you right now. To be honest with you, I'm talking about the folks that aren't playing. I mean, these guys are out here trying to win a game. And so typically, those guys on the bench, you sit there on the bench. We don't hear from you. The shiesty last year, he's on the bench, got to make a statement. You know, this, putting the finger in Klay's face.
Yep.
After, you know, technically he's done, he's had a game, 22, season high, whatever else. Yeah, you won, you won. But it reeks of the guy that's like, man, I don't know, hold me back.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But he really doesn't want to fight.
Right.
It's making it about him.
That's right.
On a night where this should be all about your teammates, and if you want to say he's standing up for Jaren, well, Jaren ain't out there either.
No, I mean, like that's, you know, that's the whole issue is that we're once again talking about something Ja Morant does, but not on the basketball court in a uniform.
I think he tells himself he's just mad Klay's out there barking at Vince, and so now Klay's a bum again, and
right.
I can get it. It's you know, I can jump in this. My point is, man, your guys were out there on the floor handling it. I'm not telling you that Ja's not hurt, but what we've also seen is Ja go on strike. When he didn't want Taylor Jenkins, or he was ready to move on from that,
This man just was calling out his own coaching staff and quitting on them against the Lakers. My issue is right now, it should be about the team and good vibes and getting wins and Cam's getting his post-game interview. Yep. And you're saying, bro, you're telling yourself you're adding to Cam's shine. You're not. You're a distraction in it when you're pointing. You're saying, man, you're a better shooter tonight than Clay, whatever. Like, it's ridiculous. That bum over there. It's ridiculous.
Well, let's not even talk about career achievements between Clay and John Morant. Like, it's just not even close. Now, I know people will argue that he was with Steph, and he was, but like at one point in the league, Clay was elite 3-and-D. Like, very few were better.
And he's one of the best 3-point shooters this freaking league has ever seen.
Right. And so, Clay's not nearly the player that he was at his prime, but like, John's not even playing. Ja's not even on court.
That's my thing, man. And if you want to defend Ja in this, and again, I would think it goes back to the bum thing. That's fine. But I would tell you that the last few years have been too much of this. The extracurricular junk. We get too caught up in trying to defend Ja here or everything. Right. It needs to be about what's going on the basketball court. This was supposed to be about getting back on the floor. And are you on the same page with Isolo? Remember, he's jumping off. What 5 games in at halftime, talking about asking the coaching staff.
Exactly.
And now I'm supposed to get back behind him like this is great leadership?
I can't
do that. Let's just have this thing just settle down. How about that? That's what professional franchises and organizations do.
It's time to be that. It's time to be that.
I mean, again, credit to the dudes that are out there on the floor getting the win
Absolutely.
The last 2 games, because it hasn't been you, bro.
Absolutely right.
But you still want to be a part of it.
Absolutely.
And want us to get by. There will be many of Grizzlies fans, Ja can do no wrong, and that's fine, that will get behind this and say this is cool and warranted, whatever else. Not me.
Right.
Agreed. It looks like fake leadership to me.
Right. Because what I would ask you is, you know, for everything that Klay Thompson no longer is, that man is 35 years old, and he just scored 22 in a professional basketball game.
It's the wrong night, bro.
Will Ja Morant ever score 22 points a game at 35?
Well, we can do that. We can also
I'm just saying, like, it just...
Klay is coming off of an Achilles, bro. That's right. My thing. He's back out there playing. He ain't a shell of his former self. But my point is, this dude's back out there off an Achilles. He's back out there. He's playing now.
Klay is a pro.
You're still not playing.
Klay is a pro. And
that's what I'm saying.
We're still waiting on that from Josh. So I'm not defending Josh.
I
can't do it.
And I don't like Klay Thompson. I'm not the guy that I want to sound like I'm in some defense of Klay.
Yeah.
But what I can't push back on much is what he said afterwards. What that audio right there?
He clocked Ja.
And really, I mean, he said what we all said. He was so clever with it.
Clever.
We've all been waiting on a superstar
he
like
killed
Ja.
Him with
so
kindness,
that's
man.
That's where he kind of unfortunately
he
got us. He touched us all
because he can't just be petty. Because he's like, I want to see him out there.
That's the truth. The unfortunate truth, the inconvenient truth, Frank Gore, about Ja Morant that Klay can call out.
That's right.
Yep. And we don't want to hear it, especially from him, but it's absolutely the truth. And again, just back in, you know, I don't know if it's OG days, whatever else, man. When you ain't out there and them other guys been doing the battling like that and you're coming on trying to, you know, act like you're leading and calling him out.
Yep.
In a situation that to me is immature leadership.
I couldn't agree more.
You know, I need you back on this team. And turn back with this coach you bailed on 5 games. And we still don't know if it's proven or not, if it's going to work with you or Jaren. But this just I said it to you, I'm just going to get it out, because I think this is not much different than what it felt like Dylan was doing at the end, man, where he just, man, forget what the organization.
He was like rebelling.
This is me. I'm going to do me. Ja feels like he's just doing him right now.
Yep.
Now, maybe that's a sign he doesn't care. He's already out of here. But we said that. Even if Ja wants to go and the Grizzlies are ready to trade him, what we need are the waters calming so teams ain't looking at Ja saying, man, I don't want no part of that around my franchise, especially for what we got to pay him. See what I'm saying? So even if you've decided to part, and even if Ja is out now, 1 foot out, he got to act like, or at least not be a distraction in this way. I think it lowers his value with this stuff.
Yeah, no,
you think the rest of the league looks like this, the OGs, and this is they respect this out of Ja?
No.
Or GMs?
100%.
Come on, man.
I love Ja Morant. You love Ja Morant. We all want to see Ja Morant out there, but like his self-awareness right now is in the negative. Like, he has 1 playoff series win in his career. And he misses more games than he plays. Like, and yet, like, all we hear is chirping. You know, and I understand, like, that is part of him. And I'm not trying to say that he can't, but do it when you're playing. Play. Just play. just be out there, man. Like that's and honestly, even when he was out there this year, like he quit on in the Lakers game in the second half because he wasn't playing well in the first half. Team was winning by double digits. He wasn't playing well.
He let us know he was not happy, didn't he?
Yes. And I just feel like, you know, dude, you have been in the league since 2019. We are supposed to be way past this, man. Like you said, they fired Taylor Jenkins for you. Now you don't like the new coach. Now you don't like his system, even though you signed off on it at the end of a season interview. So it's like, come on, bro. Like you at some point, it's on you to be the pro,
right? And let Jaren fight his own battles at this point. Both y'all,
even if was for Jaren, was Jaren even on the bench? I didn't even see him.
That's how it should be,
right? I agree.
And I'm with you. It's not a defense of Jaren. It's a veiled look at me.
Right.
But you can point to. He can point to. His fans can point to. Oh, no, this goes back to Clay when he called Jaren a bum.
Right.
Not Ja a bum. Called Jaren a bum.
Which was 3 years ago, by the way. And they've seen each other since then multiple times. So, I mean, what are we talking? Delayed, return here? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't buy into that form of leadership. A man who just a few weeks ago was calling out his own coach and organization.
That's right.
What we said was basically this needs to quiet down.
Absolutely.
Right. You got to get at least again. Maybe everybody ain't on the same page, but you at least got to act like it in terms of moving forward. That's for the best for all involved.
Yeah.
And so again, to have the league talking about you in this way is the wrong way. In terms of trade value or, I think, and even in trying to lead.
Yes.
Again, we saw more fire from him off that bench than we've seen in a lot of these games this year, especially since halftime of the Lakers.
We can't be seeing more because from you in a Nike Tech suit than a Grizzlies uniform. That's the problem.
I would love to sit here and defend him today and say he's making the right – he's making the wrong choices in year 7.
That's right.
A team that needs him to step up and lead. This is not the right way to step up and lead.
Anybody that looks at that exchange to me and thinks Ja was in the right somehow is like enabling the behavior.
And we've done that for too long.
I agree.
We have to start being real about this.
It's
why we're here.
I agree.
It is why this young man has not grown up in the way this organization and this city has needed him to.
I absolutely agree.
And I don't mean growing up as boy. He's a boy. Don't go there. I can already hear some people. I mean in terms of being a professional.
Absolutely.
Let's make sure we are clear here.
Yep.
And year 7, we're still doing some of this learning how to be a professional stuff. It can't happen now when the franchise is trying to build around you, man.
No, that's true. And
you're out. We don't know if you like the coach or not. We don't know if you're going to play tonight or not. You play one half, don't play second half.
Right.
How can you trust that?
You can't. That's why his trade value is not good.
Right. Yeah, OKC's building it around a dude they can trust.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's even showing us when he's out that he may not, you know.
Yes.
Be along willing to go along company lines.
Because, like,
what
dude,
needs to
you
right now. That's what Dylan Brooks.
You
was
won
doing.
The game. The Mavericks are trash. It's over. Just leave, man. Like, there's no reason to chirp about beating the awful Mavericks who lost PJ Washington at the end of the game, bro. Just get on the plane and get home and get back on the court. Like, it's just that simple to me in 2025 with Ja Morant. Like, if you're out there and something happens to you. You're entitled to a reaction, right? Like, you're entitled to, and I understand that. Anybody would do that. But if you're not even inside the lines, bro, you're not relevant to the discussion. And I hate that we're having this discussion, but Ja inserted himself into this discussion. I would rather him just play.
Well, these are the kind of honest talks that needed to happen sooner, whether it was us, whether it was, more importantly, the organization. Like, these are things that, And listen, I would say Kyrie grew out of this stuff. You can't wait on Ja Morant forever, though.
Yeah.
That's right. You're going to wait till year 10, 11, Ja's grown. Oh, now he's a mature leader and he's figured it out.
Absolutely.
It can happen.
Yes.
But sometimes it has to happen somewhere else. And that's what I'm saying.
That's
true. The more this stuff continues, the closer I get to it's not going to work. I was the guy that said you got to do everything you can. That Ja Morant is the best thing for this franchise. But the more he continues to just make it about himself, the more I feel like the franchise can't trust him to build it around him. Unfortunately, he's helped tank or help hurt his value.
Yep.
You have a part in that with the way you've handled him through the years as an organization. But unfortunately, it's not a deal where you can trade him like you could maybe 2 or 3 years ago. You have the whole league asking for him. Oh, here. Different situation now. So.
Yep.
And it just overshadowed. Credit to Zach Edey, credit to Vince Williams stepping up in a point guard. They don't have any point guards right now. This dude's stepping up.
like Cam Spencer hitting those shots. It takes away from the effort that's going on. This organization trying to push forward, move forward, and the season been up and down. A lot of it because of Ja's doing.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
Come on, man. It's not how you move as an OG.
Yep. No, you're right. You're exactly right. Let's hope that he just gets back on the court. Grizz play tonight. No Ja Morant, obviously. I think Jaren's been upgraded to questionable.
And figured he'll be back out there.
Nuggets coming off of a very bad loss at home to the Kings as 11-point favorites. Nikola Jokic not happy after that one. So you're getting the revenge game for the Nuggets here.
Brown's down. Gordon's down. Sounds like. So two starters. Brown's been down, but two starters down.
Yep.
So a little thinner than they usually are. But, what they did in the offseason in terms of the reinforcements, I looked at Jokic. I think he's on average playing 2 minutes less than last year, brought in Jonas Valanciunas and some reinforcements. And so maybe missing two starters like they are, that doesn't hurt them in a way that it would have last year, whatever else. Now, I still think, obviously, Jokic going to be, much of the load will be on him. But overall, it's a better Denver team, a deeper Denver team than last year, maybe one that can handle – not having the two guys a little bit better.
Yeah, because they didn't have either of those two guys against the Rockets on the road, and they won. I mean, that's an impressive victory. So we know that at their best, it's still Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, and Cam Johnson, which is enough to beat most teams in the NBA.
And like you said, Jokic is coming in mad, having lost one he doesn't feel like he should have. That said, they are all about the postseason, and you can see it. They've gone deeper. They've lowered Jokic's minutes.
Yep.
And so, if they did let up tonight, it wouldn't surprise me because the regular season to them is not nearly as important as getting Jokic, a fresher Jokic with more reinforcements around him to the playoffs. But come on, you are so thin at the point guard position, asking Vince to do so much, and there really is no margin for error. You need Cam Spencer knocking down shots every night right now to win. So what is it, 7.5? That's why the line's so big. You're still so undermanned when you got a Jokic out there on the other side.
Yeah, I think it's up to 8 in some spots.
Oh, what? Jock too? Didn't he get hurt in the last one?
But he's not on the injury report.
Well, good. Well, that's good news. That's good news. Yeah.
We know you're a Jock land.
Dude, he is slotted.
He's in
I'm just saying he's slotted right now.
Yeah.
Coming off the bench behind Edie, who is, again, I think we're 16 quarters on Edie. I've been keeping count. Only two allowed above 30 points. Yep. And that's net. Again, you got to look at the competition, but the defense is back. I think they're top three in defensive rebounding.
Yep.
Zach Edie was, what do you have, 15?
Yeah, he's very good.
He's been an absolute monster, and it's made them a good defensive team again. Elite, literally, with him on the floor. But you need to see it for a longer stretch against some better competition as well, and we'll see what it looks like with Jaren out there now.
All right, we'll come back. Memphis basketball started 1-4. They have started 1-4 for the first time since 1997, thanks to a heartbreaker in the Bahamas. What's it mean for this team, for the program, for Penny? We'll get into all that when we get back. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
And Sports Talk with Jason and John on 92.9 is presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Yes.
Hope you're having a better day at work today than Teddy Bridgewater had last night.
Oh.
That was really,
why
really.
Why is he still being asked to do that
late
stage of his career?
Nothing.
He came in and had to back up Baker Mayfield, but John's right. Nothing happened once he was in.
There was one play where he was about to take a sack, and he just literally doesn't even look, but he like flips the ball underhanded just down the field. And it's I'm not really doing it justice. It's honestly like the most retired play you'll ever see in your life.
I mean, he's 33. He's not trying to be Matthew Stafford out here and go to 37 or 40 Tom Brady.
He was coaching. He was like a high school
and
coach.
And y'all ran him off.
Yeah.
Remember that. He just wants to help the kids, but y'all ran him off and said he was violating your rules down there in Florida, wherever it was.
That's right.
And so
yeah.
he had to go back to the league as a backup QB.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have him. He just wants to help the kids at this point in his career. He clearly does not want to take hits, as John has pointed out.
Yeah, I mean,
he should not be there. He shouldn't be there.
You got to just look up Teddy Bridgewater. The first video you see, he's literally being dragged to the ground. He flips the ball underhanded, doesn't even look to see where it's going. I mean, he just doesn't really look like an NFL quarterback.
Have you a Jameis Winston ready?
Yeah.
And that dude was third string, man.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't win, but we can get to
catching passes.
Why
too.
Is Teddy Bridgewater the backup?
That's the point I'm making, John.
Like they used to have, I want to say Kyle Trask was there. He must
have
be
someone that's serious, you know, about football and getting in the game. Because I feel like Teddy's already basically wrapped it up. He just hasn't announced his retirement yet.
Okay. Okay. Trask was released by the Bucs in August, and then he signed with the Falcons practice squad. Y'all got to get him back. This dude is not it. But again, he wasn't planning to play. He was like, y'all want me to go in? Me? Okay. I'll put my helmet on.
Is he still wearing the gloves?
I think he's definitely wearing the gloves. Let me get
my gloves then.
He's got dreads. It's not often you see a quarterback with dreads out there in the NFL, but
he's had two gloves.
He's got them. So I hope you're just having a better day at work than Teddy had. Now he's still cashing an NFL check and you're not, but you know, at least your embarrassing moments are not going to be witnessed on national television in that way. So it's all a trade-off. One moment that was captured on national television that we wish was not was the ending of Memphis and Wake Forest. That was a crusher. Miles Colvin hits a three-pointer with no time left, 1.5 seconds on the inbound. And Memphis blows a 2-point lead in the final 1.5. He hits the three. It's over. And Wake Forest is leaving the Bahamas winless, 1-4 on the season. First time they've been 1-4 since 1996-97. That is the year that Larry Finch was fired at Memphis. They ended up being like 17-16 or something like that. Missed the tournament. And Memphis is in a spot where it's like, look, it's not 1-4 against SEMO and Murray State and Southeast Louisiana, but 1-4 is 1-4, and you're already in a situation, Jason, where on Monday, November 24th, you are likely already out of the running for an at-large bid. And that sort of is a discussion piece. You can still make the tournament, obviously, thanks to the conference tournament, but I do think like it does constitute a step back when you're already kind of out of that discussion in November.
Yeah, we can do all that, and you know, we have to talk about the ending here because Doug McDaniel won you the game, and you have to do your part and finish it and tell him to miss the second free throw. The game was won. You had salvaged the trip. You were 1-1.
Yep.
Doug had gotten to the line after you'd done some. You know, the Zach Davis was that. Why don't that? What that? You know, down the stretch, his putback attempt. Again, you'd put yourself in position
that
to
so
steal
bad.
That one, to take it, to win it, whatever you want to call it. In many ways, you would outplay them. You'd led for most of the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went to the quotes. I listened to the post game because I wanted to know immediately whether Penny had told Doug to miss it or whether Doug had, you know, accidentally made it or whatever. Whether the point was, whether it had been told, miss the shot. And Penny took all the... you know, all the responsibility with everything going on, paraphrasing here, with all the commotion, I didn't tell him. And it's basketball 101. We were just talking about, you know, football and Ryan, and I brought up coaching 101. You don't call that Kirby Smart. Well, this is basketball coaching 101. You have to miss the second free throw there. Here's what I'm going to say about it. Penny, because we've talked about it with the roster, feels like he's trying to do it all right now. You know, we've pointed out like there's no Nolan Smith, no Stansberry. We've said this roster doesn't look like it fits at times, and it feels like Penny did it all himself this time around, right? We've asked about it. I mean, Roy didn't help with anything. You just brought him in late, and whether it's Jermaine, you know, or Mike Davis, you look around and you figure it's Penny that's gone out and gotten these guys. And remember, it's Penny that said, I know the formula now. I know the kind of guy I want. I feel like he's taking that upon himself. I'm going to do it.
Yep.
So much to the point that almost like
it didn't really matter who that last assistant was going to be. Remember how he just kind of filled that before we got in?
Yep.
And it feels like with Penny having gotten better as a coach and figured some things out, he figured, I'm going to do this myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to the end of that game, he's trying to figure out, just like he said, who's in, who's out, and everything else. And the guy that's got so much pressure on him, hey, they're 1-3, come back 1-4, this is ugly. Since Larry Finch, man, I mean, all that's on you, don't want to lose here, and you forget to tell him.
Yep.
Here's what I would say. I can buy that. Mm-hmm. That you forgot because it feels like you're trying to do everything. Here's what's got to happen. That is why you have a staff. How many guys has he got on that staff behind him? 12, 14 guys? I went and looked. I mean, if you don't count Kirk Downs and Kristen Kelly, there's about 12 people back there are listed on that staff on his roster and everything else. Somebody's got to tell him.
Absolutely.
Penny, we got to miss this one.
That's why you have a million staff.
Why are they there for?
Member.
Why is Mike Davis there? Why is Roy Rogers there? Why is Jermaine Johnson there? If they're not telling Penny, and listen, I've heard it, and I've heard it from folks over the weekend as I've discussed this. Well, you know, Penny don't listen to his assistants. That's kind of been the knock on him. And maybe that was the case. I just want to lay that out there as a possibility. Maybe they told him, and it's why Penny, after the game, was so willing to say, this is on me, I just forgot to do it, because someone did. But if they did not, and I'd have been screaming at Penny, Coach, this is one, I don't care if you're not listening to me, we got to miss this one. We got to make sure Doug knows.
Yep.
It's basketball 101. Mike Davis is the one that's seen so much, right? You got to make him listen to you. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. And so it's not just Penny here. That's the point of having a staff. Mm. This guy's got a ton on him right now. Looks like he's trying to do everything. And nobody said Doug's got to miss the second free throw. That's what y'all there for. That's what you guys are there for. And so I don't know if that got said.
Yep.
Because it's so obvious.
Yep.
We were all saying it.
Yep.
Yelling it at the television screen. And Penny didn't hear it.
Uh-huh.
Didn't want to hear it. Whatever. I'm just going to make it. Well, I ain't worried about y'all.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm saying that could be a possibility. It could be. But if it wasn't said, brother, look around you. You got to delegate some of this stuff, Penny. That's the point. That's the reason you have a staff. That's why a staff does matter still, even in this day and age, where we've said so much of recruiting has changed. Yeah, maybe the recruiting ties don't matter. But a staff, folks that have been through something that can tell you or at least convince you, brother, you got to miss the second free. That was missing. Whether it was within the lines of communication or whether it just never, that was missing. That's what staff's got to do.
Yep, I agree. It was a failure. It was a failure on
all around, yeah. And it ends with Penny. We said this roster ends with him, and you got to have somebody on your staff that's going to convince you of that or at least say it one way or the other. The fact that you got to that point, because even Steve Forbes had to say it after the game. They gave us that one. We stole that one. If they had just missed the second free throw, we don't have time to set up the damn play that we practiced the night before.
They ran it at the end of the game.
Practiced it all through. There's video of the practice. There's video of them running it and hitting it at the end of that Texas Tech game.
Yes.
So you got to know it's a possibility.
And I know it's a quick turnaround, but you don't even know,
and that's scouting and knowing, you know, what they're capable of. But you never get there.
Right. If you miss the free throw,
it's basketball 101,
right,
bro.
Because I mean, look, if you're up,
they have
one,
no timeouts.
They
That's
have no
the key.
Timeouts.
We have to make sure folks understand that
there's 1.5 seconds remaining, and you're up one. So whether you lose by two or one, like all they can do is
heave it.
They get a rebound, which is going to take 3 to 4 tenths of a second. They're going to have to dribble it, which takes 2 to 3 tenths of a second. And all they're going to have time is, yeah, like you said, to heave it. So if they make it, God bless them. But let's not let them basically, because, you know, I was watching the CBS Sports broadcast after the game, and Wally Cerbiak and the analyst Chris Walker there is getting kind of heated, you know, because Chris Walker was like, coaches don't tell you to miss it all the time. Sometimes they tell you to make it. And Wally was like, well-coached teams miss that every time. Like, that they're just not going to give you the chance to get a free timeout.
I was listening to it. I was with Wally.
And GP stepped in bravely and you know, moderated between two competitors. There's no question about that. Like with valor, I would say. But you know, it's just obvious. It's just a math problem, right? It's like, okay, we make this, and if they make a three, we lose by one because they're not going to take a two. They don't have time to take a two. It's just going to be a three. So I don't understand, you know, and again, there's nothing we can do about it now. I mean, Penny said it was all on me. It was my mistake. And it was, you know, I mean, there was a lot of things, right? When you think about what went wrong in the Bahamas, it was the mental mistakes. It was Aaron Bradshaw getting a technical there late in a game that Memphis was winning and taking himself out of the game when they kind of needed him. It was Zach Davis. I don't know what that dude was doing. Put back up two with 8 seconds left instead of bringing it back out and getting fouled. Like, what are you doing, man? I mean, I guess if he makes it, it ices the game maybe, but, you know, why not just, you know, take time off the clock, go to the foul line, and ice it that way as opposed and then the foul on the damn rebound, just a comedy of errors at the end of that game, both on the players and on the coaching staff. And look, is it embarrassing to lose to Wake Forest? No, it's not embarrassing. That's a top 50 to 60-ish team on a neutral site. You were not favored in the game. You know, you covered the spread, if that matters to anybody. But it's a game you should have won.
It's embarrassing to give them the game the way you did. You had beaten a top 50 Ken Pom opponent that you needed with this stretch of games that you got coming off of.
Because it would have stabilized the season, you know. I mean,
And Doug McDaniel had earned it. This guy, you wasted two good Doug McDaniel games down there, you could say. Now, maybe, again, you were never going to hold off Purdue and win that. But Doug McDaniel, after we were questioning him coming off the UNLV performance and effort and everything else, even Penny Hardaway is not including him around the guys I got to go forward with. What was it, 1 of 10, the 6 turnovers? He gives you everything in these two games, but more importantly, got you the win by getting to the line there. You have got to finish it off with basketball coaching 101.
Yep.
Again, it's obvious Zerbiak is right when Penny says after the game, kicking myself right now for not missing the second free throw, that's a mistake on my part. Here's the thing for me. It's a learning experience, but it's a hard learning experience right now. Like, it's a learning experience that you should have been passed a long time ago. And more importantly, again, this is why I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, because he's got so much on him. Feels like he's trying to do everything. Where are your assistants right here?
I agree.
Where are your assistants? Here's the rest of the quote. Through all of the commotion of trying to figure out what we're going to do and who's going to be in the game, I didn't tell him to miss the second one. That's all on me. I would have just told him to miss it. If the Demon Dickens get a rebound, throw a full court and make it, then that's game. So if it had crossed his mind, it feels like that if we're just going with the quote here, where if it had crossed his mind, he would have said it. You got a big staff back there.
Yep.
Somebody's got to say it. And I don't think this is going to be one where you've got to convince Penny. So again, it's right now, top to bottom, you know, we've called out the players a lot in this. This is one that the coaching staff let get away that the players had won. That's what I'm saying. You got two fairly solid efforts, John. For the two games you went down there, you're the only team coming back 0-2 because the staff blew it at the end of the game.
That's right.
That's the bottom line.
That's right.
And so when you come out of this, we can continue with the calling out of players or everything else. But the point is that staff, right, that either is or ain't helping Penny, who's trying to, seems like, do too much. Bro, y'all better be on your P's and Q's.
Oh, I agree.
So that's what I'm saying. We can't just sit up here and be calling out these players and these bad rosters and everything else if we're not calling out a staff there. And I'm saying the whole thing.
That's right.
And I got friends on that staff. Let's be real. This is unforgivable. You don't give away games like this.
Yep.
Forbes couldn't help but – I mean, he didn't have a choice. Yeah, we stole it because they
– Yeah.
You know, because they made it second free throw. He said, well, that gives us our chance to set up a play that we practice, and it goes in. They weren't surprised at all that it went in. So the surprise was Memphis made the free throw.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. Yep, that is exactly right.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No, I mean, here's the thing. People are trying to, you know, and this is going to happen. I get it. We've lived through the Tubby Smith tenure. Like, we know how this goes. People are blaming the roster. People are blaming the talent. People are blaming folks. In the end, Penny Hardaway is responsible for picking his roster. We can sit here and talk about money, and that is fair. Like the money is fair, but he still is deciding in the end who that money goes to. And if the roster is weak, it's because Penny picked a weak roster. Like that. Like there's no absolving Penny for that. There's no absolving Penny for the end of game. Like Penny had two timeouts. Somebody could have told him, hey, let's just call a timeout after this first make, and let's just talk about it. Let's talk about what we want to do. You know. This is a Baja Mar game. This is not the Final Four. I mean, this is a consolation bracket. Like, I know there was commotion, but we got to have a little bit more composure than that in a third place game in the freaking Bahamas in a ballroom. Okay, there's like no crowd there whatsoever. So it was just really disappointing to not come back with that win. Because again, you could sort of start to talk yourself into it. All right, 2-3, fine. You lost to UNLV. That was a weird one. You know, flush that one down. You competed against Purdue, who killed Texas Tech absolutely wipe the floor with them.
Yep.
And you could say, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And, you know, now you just wonder about keeping this team together, because it's going to get really tough again very soon. You get two Patsies coming up at home. I can't remember exactly who they are, but they're like 200-level teams at KenPom. And then you go on this murderous four-game stretch where it's like Baylor, Vandy, Louisville, and Mississippi State. So, I mean, I think the whole thing is like there's a very real possibility that Memphis is 4-8 heading into conference play. I mean, that's the or 5-7.
Yeah. I mean, again, we said that this was always a possibility. We said that Penny is gambling when you're replacing 15 each year in the transfer portal, not just hard work to do. You're taking a chance at having bad chemistry. You're taking a chance at having bad players, at not getting your NILs worth. I think that's clear with Aaron Bradshaw. My God, this dude, you know, the number of fouls now in less than 20 minutes played, it's unreal. He can't be on the floor. I mean, you think about it, that was a five-star guy that you spent a lot of money on.
Yep.
But you know, I'm not going to do this in terms of moral victories, but what John, they played well two games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
One of them against a very good team in Purdue, as you said, who wiped the floor with Texas Tech. Your effort was better than them.
Yep.
They found at least it looks like another rebounder for the time being in Wharton, who went out there, looked useful in terms of getting the six boards. We'll see with my guy from UT Rio Grande, who at some point I will remember his name because he's actually going to play. But my point is, there's still enough out there, even if they go 4-8 in the non-conference, to go into conference play, and it could be ugly, but still win the thing and get the auto.
Oh yeah, totally.
Like nothing's because you and I knew this wasn't a five seed the moment they got out there, probably mm-hmm. on the floor in those exhibitions.
Most definitely.
You know that part doesn't have to change.
Right.
Penny can still make the tournament as a lower seed
right.
and pull something out of this. The issue is, can you fix it? Can you build something that's yep. strong enough foundationally to help you going forward?
Right.
Is there enough on this to have a core for next year? Because it's a core that's missing. A culture is missing because, again, you've done it in this transactional way. You're replacing the roster each mm-hmm. year. And, again, it's been so convenient to put it on the players. In this case, that 15-man roster that you assembled that we're saying short was a good enough effort to beat a top 50 KenPom team.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaching staff blew it.
Yep.
So my point is, everybody's got to get back. Penny, staff included, say we've all got to do our part. If they do, John, yeah, it could get real ugly in this non-con, but that is still a team that can win the American. Look at the effort against Purdue.
You mean the I guess the regular season is fine. It's not going to be enough to get you in the tournament. But if you win, it's enough.
Yeah, at large.
You're down to having to win the conference tournament, which
100%. And at large, yes, I would say is a long shot.
That's disappointing. Because that's you want to be. That's why you play the schedule, right? So I got a call from a head coach over the weekend who said Memphis should stop scheduling this way, because if they're not going to be good enough to beat these teams or finish with a record like they had last year, mm-hmm. there's no point in they've gone extreme, right? Like it's the coach's point was not to like do what I'm trying to think of an example, but like not to play all 300 level teams. But his point was that you're not doing yourself literally any favors now, because you're 1-4. You had two close losses against quality competition, and you're going to likely finish four games under 500 with no shot in that large bid. And your fans are going to be pissed off because you played this tough schedule. So his point was, in this new era, play two of those,
yeah.
but the rest of those, you need more buy games, basically.
But you could also say there's just as much evidence that it does work when he's got the right team, because they went 10-3 last year and it got him a five seed.
Yeah, it just comes down. Do you believe he can have the right team year in and year
not
out?
Not replacing 15.
Right.
That's the key.
Right.
You don't have to change it so long as you've got a core mm-hmm. that can handle it. What have we said? Penny gets his guys up for big games. The issue is getting that core
right.
and what it's going to take over the next really 2 or 3 years to do it.
Yeah.
And is Penny... Does Penny want it that bad?
Does Penny want it that bad?
Because again,
it's very difficult.
Come here today, he's going to hear a lot of Memphis saying he absolutely blew it, and it's the case.
Yeah.
Now he's taking accountability for it, but come on, that again, we've spent so much time criticizing the roster. Here's one where the coaching staff dropped the ball.
Yep,
roster was good enough.
Yep.
So he can be mad at us in the criticism if he wants to.
Yep.
The fact is, it's warranted, right? How engaged? How locked in are you? How badly do you want this, Larry? It was his life's work.
Totally. I mean, that's what he was a coach. I mean, that's what he was. You know, Penny has become a coach.
It feels like it's his life works to finish
to fix Memphis, but it doesn't have to be.
No, I mean,
like, it felt like it had to be with Larry because Penny's a millionaire. Is freaking loaded. He go play golf.
That's right.
But you get the sense, no, man, that you know, he's trying to get this right. Like, you know, that it did.
Bet 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.